You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. We will cover what's going on with Tennessee football on today's show and get some basketball talk in as well, as the Vols had another impressive win on Monday night. Tennessee beat St. Joseph soundly on Monday to improve to 5-0 on the season. We'll cover Tennessee football and the news that Tennessee is not going to a bowl game here in segment number one. A statement from Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt came out on Monday afternoon. I'll tell you about what they had to say and look at just where things are now that the 2020 season is officially over. And now the Vols look ahead to what happens in the future. Speaking of, we'll talk about that in segment number two. Chris Lowe joined us on Sports 180 on the Sports Animal on Monday and had some really good information, I thought. So I'm going to bring some of that to you. I'll share a link to the interview in the show notes, the full interview, if you want to. But some important information, I think, from Chris Lowe looking at what's going on with Tennessee football, and I would say Tennessee athletics and just the university in segment number two, and then Tennessee basketball. We'll definitely talk about what the Vols did. With the win against St. Joseph's, Tennessee has one more game on Wednesday night before playing in the SEC opener against Missouri next week. So there's a lot to cover right now. We'll do it here today on Locked On Vols. I appreciate you being here. Thanks to everybody who has spread the word to other Tennessee fans. Welcome new listeners as well who might be checking out the show for the first time. Locked On Vols is a daily show covering what's going on with Tennessee, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as I mentioned, news came out Monday afternoon that Tennessee will not be able to play in the Liberty Bowl because of positive COVID tests with Jeremy Pruitt, other coaches, and players. And I think with the positive tests and the contact tracing, you're looking at a lot of players who would be unavailable to get ready for the Liberty Bowl next Thursday. Here are the statements from Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt. And by the way, the news came out from Chris Lowe. He had the report on Monday afternoon before Tennessee confirmed it. Philip Fulmer said this, quote, "After receiving Sunday's COVID-19 test results, the University of Tennessee football program has paused all team activities and will be unable to compete in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The test results revealed an increase in positive cases among student athletes and staff and subsequent contact tracing. The decision was made in consultation with health officials, the Southeastern Conference, and the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. The student athletes and staff affected are taking the appropriate safety measures in accordance with university CDC and local health department guidelines. The University of Tennessee extends its sincere appreciation to the AutoZone Liberty Bowl and the city of Memphis and is disappointed it will not be able to fulfill its commitment on New Year's Eve." Jeremy Pruitt in his statement said that he is isolating after his positive test and said that he has dealt with mild symptoms and added in his statement that he is, quote, "especially proud of our team and medical staff in safely navigating through a unique season where we played all 10 of our regular season games." So the 2020 season is over, with Philip Fulmer's statement saying that Tennessee is disappointed it will not be able to fulfill its commitment in the bowl game. There might be some eyes that get rolled. I think there are some thoughts of, hey, this is a way for Tennessee to get out of having to play in the bowl game against West Virginia. West Virginia opened as a slight favorite against Tennessee, by the way. I do think the numbers issue is something that Tennessee just probably can't overcome. Could people have stepped up and helped from a coaching standpoint? Perhaps, but I think the numbers are probably too great to make it worthwhile, and to me, this would be the right decision. I know people are going to be skeptical, and I understand why. And I know that some people would like to see Tennessee try to finish through. I know that other fans are saying, you know what, that's okay. I don't mind not seeing Tennessee play in the Liberty Bowl. So I've heard differing opinions from fans and people connected to UT on this news coming out on Monday. I've said that I think the idea of Tennessee going to a bowl game is a little bit silly considering it's a 3-7 season. I thought the same thing with South Carolina. But also, if Tennessee was going to go play in the game, hey, good for the players to maybe get some money for being able to go. I don't know how that will all work out. My understanding is that Tennessee will still be able to get its revenue share from accepting a bowl bid, but because it cannot participate, it will still be able to receive that revenue share. So that's good for Tennessee, and I guess you cut costs in the meantime. That's probably also something that you're not too concerned about. So the season's over. And I guess my question will be, what happens next? Do we start to see some kind of movement with the coaching staff soon? there is the big question about Jeremy Pruitt and his status, and I think that's still to be determined officially. But whether Jeremy Pruitt is the coach in 2021 or not, there are going to be staff changes. I don't think there's any question about that. And if that's the case, well, then some of those coaches, they want to know what their situation is so they can start looking for jobs elsewhere. This is also not an offseason with a ton of turnover in coaching positions. There have been some staff changes, no doubt. And coaches who leave will be able to find work elsewhere. You have a couple of changes in the SEC, at South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Auburn still looking for a head coach. So again, there still will be turnover in the coaching industry. So who's leaving Tennessee? Perhaps now that the season is officially over, while you have some coaches that may have to isolate and interviewing for jobs and all that is different this year for sure than others, perhaps we start to see some kind of movement there in the near future. Players also want to make decisions. If they're going to go, well, you have a spring semester that starts here in just a couple of weeks, so they're going to probably jump into the transfer portal and see if they can go find a new home for the spring semester. Austin Pope announced on Monday afternoon that he has entered the transfer portal and will look at an opportunity elsewhere. Tennessee missed him this year. I don't know that he would have played a huge role in Tennessee's offense in terms of what you would have seen statistically, but he would have been a pass-catching option, and he was a really good run blocker, and Tennessee could have used him. They used the different jumbo packages to try to help the running game, but it looks like Austin Pope, who played at CAK in Knoxville and was an important part of what Tennessee did offensively in 2019, is going to go play elsewhere. We know that Brandon Johnson has entered the transfer portal as a senior wide receiver. Tennessee has a bunch of young receivers who will have an opportunity next year. Also, Jarrett Garantano is in the transfer portal. Who could be next? So what happens with the coaching staff? What happens with the roster? Tennessee also will want to pursue transfers that are looking to come in for the spring semester. And that's always worth remembering. There are players that are going to leave. There will be players that come in. And that's just going to be the case across college football. Get ready for more movement moving forward, especially once the one-time transfer rule goes into effect officially, which it's going to probably pretty soon here. So what happens next with Tennessee football is the big question now that 2020 is officially over and Jeremy Pruitt's status is still unknown officially moving forward. Philip Fulmer's status is kind of unknown moving forward, and that's what we'll get to coming up next here on Locked On Vols. Chris Lowe with some good information on where things stand, what's going on behind the scenes, what needs to change for Tennessee football moving forward. What Chris Lowe of ESPN.com had to say about Tennessee on Monday coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and today's show is brought to you by Coors Light, which has been a great supporter of Locked On Vols and the Locked On Podcast Network, and it's a great option to pair with whatever sporting event you are watching. If you are on the go at work every day, if you want to take a break, if you want to sit back and relax and maybe enjoy the holidays coming up, well, you can do that with an ice-cold Coors Light from Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado. Coors Light is cold-lagered, cold-filtered, and cold-packaged. It's literally made to chill. And doesn't it just sound right? It sounds like the right option when you're looking to sit back on the couch and watch a sporting event, football, basketball, whatever the case might be. Coors Light is as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, and an ice-cold beer is probably the refreshing option you're looking for to enjoy with your sporting event or just to sit back and relax after a long day at work. Grab a Coors Light, and you can get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. And remember to celebrate responsibly. And we have all kinds of things going on in the sports world. The NBA is tipping off tonight. You have the regular season starting up. College basketball is going on with conference play about to begin. You have the NFL with a couple of weeks to go in the regular season. BetOnline.ag is a great option for you if you are looking forward to betting on bowl games that are going on, the playoff that's coming. Final couple of weeks of the NFL regular season, see, you have all kinds of options to choose from. And at betonline.ag, they have a great welcome bonus for you right now that you can take advantage of. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off as a welcome bonus. You go to betonline.ag and remember to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so where do things stand with Tennessee's football program? It's still an unknown. What exactly is Jeremy Pruitt's status? Where do things stand behind the scenes? Who are we even talking about when we talk about Tennessee behind the scenes? That can really be a complicated conversation. We had part of that conversation with Chris Lowe of ESPN.com on Sports 180 on Monday. Chris is one of the best in the business covering college football, and I linked to the entire interview in the show note if you want to check it out, but I wanted to bring part of it to you here on today's show, and I think the most important parts of the interview that we discussed. And the first question was pretty simple. I asked Chris, what's going on with Tennessee football right now? Here's what he said.
You know what? I guess I shouldn't be surprised because it's just been – I talked to somebody last night. I was in Alabama all day yesterday doing some stuff and talked to a ton of people on my way back, and just the carnage that has been left in the wake of what's going on in and around Tennessee, really the entire athletic department, but football the last 10 years is staggering. Think about it. Think of all the ADs and coaches and chancellors and presidents, you know, key donors moving in and out. You know, this guy's in power now, this guy's in power. It's mind-boggling. But it also sort of explains why Tennessee has been the dysfunction and this instability and the turnover, why Tennessee's been as crummy as they've been in football for 10 years. I mean, you know, a third grader comes in and looks at what's happened in the last decade and figures it out pretty quickly. So here's what I know. There's an inquiry. There's questions being asked by Tennessee's compliance department about allegations, about tips they've received, things they've heard within Tennessee's football program. I don't have any information that says the NCAA is involved. I don't have any information that says they've submitted any kind of reports or finalized any kind of reports. There's questions, and that goes on all the time in every football program, athletic department across the country by compliance departments. If they're not doing that, then they're not doing their job. I think the eye-raising thing here is it got out publicly.
Yes.
And they were pulling kids out the night before game. For instance, Eric Gray didn't play, so clearly he's a part of this. But I'm also told that had Tennessee played a little bit later today, that they had cleared him of some of the things that they were looking into, and he probably could have played, if it had been a night game. So these are things that happen. It's not uncommon for compliance officials to pull coaches, staff members, because I hear there's all sorts of people involved that they've talked to, from student workers, people involved with recruiting visits, players, coaches, assistants aside, say, hey, we've got information on this, this, and this. What can you tell me? Is this true? Is that not true? Because, again, if you're in compliance, you're working for the university. You know, you're covering the university's butt. So, Heather, you were sort of looking to weigh in. The fact that it happened, it leaked out, was orchestrated, whatever you want to say, the day before the game, or actually the day of the game, I think if you're Jeremy Pruitt, if you're Philip Fulmer, if you're anybody there in athletics, you know, you got to be scratching your head and wondering, what in the heck's going on?
And if you're a Tennessee fan, you're probably asking, what in the heck's going on? And of course, with so many people either connected to Tennessee or trying to influence something behind the scenes, it can cause some controversy, especially when things aren't going well on the field. And obviously, that's a part of this. If Tennessee were 7-3 instead of 3-7, then we are not having this conversation this week, I don't believe. But Tennessee did go 3-7, and there is a lot of frustration with how things have gone on the field, and there are questions about the direction of Tennessee's football program. So what about the direction of Tennessee's football program? How does Tennessee fix this? How does Tennessee get out of these issues that are not just happening now, they've happened in the past, and the fear is that they will continue happening, which could keep Tennessee from being able to reach its full potential, which is to compete for championships in the SEC. Here's what Chris Lowe said about trying to fix things for the future of Tennessee's football program and Tennessee's athletic department.
I think continuity had a strong leadership. And again, I don't know if Jeremy's the guy or not at head coach. Have we had enough time to really know that? I don't know. I mean, I think you can make cases on both sides of that, right? The one thing about him that I think we all said, I know I said when he came in, and I knew Jeremy from his time at Alabama, is there was going to be a steep learning curve as a head football coach. I knew we could evaluate kids, I knew we could coach, he could develop. But being a head football coach, especially in this league, you've got to manage people, manage personalities. You've got to wear a lot of different hats. And I'm not sure that he or the people around him have helped him put in place the right people or do the things that helps him sort of navigate that learning curve. But I think you got to have good leadership. And, again, it starts at the top, and everybody's got to be on the same page. You know, and you know, you look at right now, you know, you've got some new faces on the board. You've got a relatively new chancellor, a relatively new president, a relatively new athletic director. And for all Phil Fulmer's done at UT, I mean, it's also fair to say he's probably learning on the job as an AD. You know, he's a football coach. You know, does he have the right people around him? So I think you asked me that question. I think they've got to get people in place, or they've got to have people who are strong enough to be good leaders. And I always go back to this, Heather. When was Tennessee at its best? When were they winning championships, playing for championships? What was sort of the common denominator then? You had Joe Johnson at the top as president. You had Douglas Adair Dickey as athletic director. And then you had a combination of John Majors or Philip Fulmer as head football coach. And you go back and count the number of years that those people were together and the success they had, I don't think that's any coincidence.
For 2021 at least, what is your confidence level that Jeremy Pruitt is still Tennessee's football coach, and I guess with that, Philip Fulmer is still Tennessee's athletic director?
About 50-50. I think that it depends on what they find as far as the compliance. You know, I don't know how serious that is and whether people, Josh, are going to pony up the kind of money. If they want Jeremy out as football coach, there's going to be enough people to pony up the money to do it. So it's just hard to say, but clearly there's people who are disappointed and there are people looking. And I think if you're Philip or if you're Jeremy, you're sort of wondering, you know, do they really want you here at this point?
And that's a big question that needs an answer very soon. I know fans have differing opinions on that. And if you go back to where things were 3 months ago and where the conversation is now, that conversation has not gone in Jeremy Pruitt's direction with a lot of Tennessee fans. So the next few days, the next few weeks will be very important for things to be figured out there at Tennessee. Philip Fulmer has continued to show support for Jeremy Pruitt. Will others at Tennessee do the same? And we'll, of course, be paying attention to that here on the show. It's also a holiday week. Christmas is coming up on Friday, so there's a lot going on. And while I said that they need to get things figured out quickly, doesn't mean that everything's going to be figured out immediately. Things often don't work out that way, and investigations, for sure, don't work out that way. So we'll see what happens next, but I'm sure some people would like to get some answers very quickly. I know fans would, because the way things are going, or have gone recently, have been pretty frustrating. On the flip side of that, Tennessee basketball continues to go very well for Tennessee. The Vols picked up another win on Monday night. Tennessee put up more than 100 points again on Monday night. You'll hear from Rick Barnes coming up. I'll run through what Tennessee was able to do against St. Joseph's with one more non-conference game to go before the start of SEC play. We'll get to Tennessee hoops coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. And today's show is supported by BuiltGo.com. And I talked about earlier in the show wanting to sit back and relax, but part of that's because you're on the go a lot. Built Go can help you when you're on the go, especially holiday time. You might be traveling. You might be trying to crank out some work hours here before the holidays begin. Built Go can help you break through whatever kind of wall. Is it a mental wall? Is it a physical wall? Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, and it's easy to take in the 1.5 ounce package. Throw it in your bag, throw it in your briefcase, whatever the case might be, take it with you on the go. Built Go is 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast, and it's easy on the stomach. Built Go has beta-alanine, B3, B6, B12, honey, and a kick of caffeine, and the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Check it out at BuiltGo.com. Visit the website, BuiltGo.com. Use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Tennessee's basketball team beat St. Joseph's on Monday night, 102-66. That's back-to-back games with Tennessee scoring 100-plus points. Tennessee did that on Friday against Tennessee Tech. I saw a UT note that's the first time since the fall of 2009 that Tennessee put up back-to-back games with 100-plus points. The team that season went to the Elite Eight. This is a team that has big expectations internally and externally. And as the Vols continue to play well, and competition is going to get tougher as the season goes along, starting next week, really, in SEC play against Missouri, there's no doubt there. Early on, Tennessee has been very impressive, and that's starting to be on both sides of the floor. The defense has continued to stand out, for sure, as opposing teams just have such a difficult time scoring and shooting well against the Vols. St. Joseph's, which was an inferior team, no doubt, going in, it shot 5 of 24 from behind the three-point line. Tennessee was led in scoring by Victor Bailey Jr. He had 18 points. He was 5 of 10 from the field, hit 6 of 7 free throws, only 2 of 7 behind the three-point line. Bailey could be Tennessee's best three-point shooter this season. He's going to be one of Tennessee's best shooters, no doubt. Santiago Vescovi had 16 points. He was 4 of 8 behind the three-point line. That's good for Tennessee. And then Jaden Springer hit both of his three-point attempts. Tennessee has a number of guys that can score. John Fulkerson had 10. Eve Pons had 13 points for Tennessee. Keon Johnson off the bench had 12. EJ Anasicki had 9 points on only 3 shots from the field. This team is deep. It's talented. It's athletic. It's everything that we talked about in the offseason. Now, again, it's going to be tested more in SEC play, but the potential of this team is real. And the number of players over the course of this season who could lead Tennessee in scoring in at least one game, I think is incredible. Fulkerson, Pons, we just saw Victor Bailey Jr. do it. Springer, Keon Johnson on any given night. Santiago Vescovi could get hot and lead Tennessee in scoring. There's so many different options. And then guys off the bench, I don't know if EJ Anasicki is going to lead Tennessee in scoring in any one game, but he's going to be a consistent option for Tennessee. And when you look at Victor Bailey Jr., this is a guy that was talked about a lot in the offseason. He played 2 years at Oregon, and he played for them. They were in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, and he played some good minutes for that basketball team. Now he's a fourth-year player in college basketball. He's a good athlete. He can score. He plays hard. He's smart on the defensive end. He can do a number of different things, and he's still working his way into the lineup. While he was practicing with Tennessee, it's still only his fifth game playing with the Vols, and all of these guys are still working things out together. This is what Rick Barnes said after the game about Victor Bailey Jr. and what he has brought to Tennessee's basketball team.
What we like about him is when he lets the game come to him, we think he's a really good offensive player. It's when he gets going too quick and kind of gets away from what we're trying to do as a team. Defensively, I do think, and we all think, that he's working really hard to try to become a more complete defensive player. He still has to work on his off-ball defense. I mean, he got back cut tonight one time where, and it's difficult at times when you have a lead to stay locked in, but the biggest thing would be we want him to stay locked in on the defensive end. We still want him to get himself organized on certain execution plays where he catches the ball. He knows exactly where he's got to get it, and he's got to get it there quick. But overall, you know, his consistency has been good, and he is a guy that, again, we think when he lets it come to him and he gets involved with our offense the way we want everybody to move and share the ball, he's extremely effective.
And it can ultimately make everybody effective. This is a good basketball team. It's the favorite to win the SEC for a reason, and this is a fun team for Tennessee fans to follow. And considering the first couple of segments of this show, you're probably looking for some fun. So the next opportunity will be on Wednesday. It's going to be a 5 o'clock Eastern tip-off. It will be on the SEC Network, so the game will be a little bit earlier. USC Upstate will be coming to town. It should be an easy game for Tennessee. Rick Barnes won't say that, but it should be. It's an opportunity for Tennessee to work on some things, and then the Vols will have a week off before opening up SEC play at Missouri next Wednesday. I don't know what this team will ultimately accomplish, but the potential is incredible, and the ride should be a lot of fun for this team and for fans to follow it. So Wednesday, Tennessee will host USC Upstate, and then next week, it's SEC time for the Vols, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about this team this season. Coming up on tomorrow's show, if there's any news that breaks with Tennessee, I'll of course be covering it. Tomorrow is also December 23rd, an important holiday. We'll try to have a little fun on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Vols. It's here covering what's going on with Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, Tennessee athletics. I appreciate you being here. Thanks to everybody who has spread the word to other Tennessee fans. If you have not rated and reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, taking a moment to do that would be a big help. I appreciate all reviews. Five-star reviews, of course, are very much appreciated. Thanks again for being here today. I'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.